We have 4 weeks left in 2019, and we need $125,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2019.
Welcome to the 15th Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We also recognize significant anniversaries, including the 50th anniversary of the decision to ordain women. The 40th anniversary of the ordination of the first woman of color. And the 10th anniversary of this church's decision to remove barriers to ordination for people in same-gender marriages. This is not just a celebration for women or women of color or for the LGBTQIA community. These are decisions of this whole church, and this is a celebration for the whole church.
That's Elizabeth Eaton, presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, opening the 2019 churchwide assembly that was held this summer. The significant anniversaries there mark, in some way, the increasing compromise of the ELCA with the sexual revolution and with the prevailing culture. I don't think the bishop thinks of it that way, but it's kind of a timeline of this church's compromise with culture and a timeline of this church's numerical decline. The Evangelical Lutheran Church America started out almost 5 million strong. It has, to my memory, never grown 1 year, and its decline is being not only predicted, its extinction is being predicted. In recent numbers that have come out of its own Office of Research and Evaluation for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We're going to talk about those numbers. Dr. Robert Benny joins us. He's Professor Emeritus of Religion and Philosophy at Roanoke College and author of a column for First Things titled ELCA Hits Bottom. Dr. Benny, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Good to talk with you again, Todd.
What did you make of the prediction that came out of the Office of Research and Evaluation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that by 2041, there would be fewer than 16,000 people worshiping on a Sunday in the ELCA?
Well, first of all, I was shocked that they would reveal that kind of information to make it public. That's not very good news, and when you're declining, you don't want to depress people even more. So I was surprised that it was made public by their research. And then the link that was sent to me was from Luther Seminary. It was reflecting on those trends. My first impression is that this is a case of taking present trends and extrapolating them into the future. So I don't think it's going to be that drastic at all. Just like climate change is not going to create a catastrophe in the earth in the next 10 years. But what I would expect more, the decline doesn't surprise me at all. That started way back even before the merger, which took place about 1989. But from 5.2 now to probably 3 million now, that's a tremendous decline, and it'll continue to decline. My hunch is that the declining mainline denomination will get together and kind of like a United Church of Canada, United Church of America, the Episcopalians, Lutherans, United Church of Christ will find common ground and at least cover over the death toll that is right around the corner.
What do you make of the solutions that were suggested to stem this decline coming out of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
Well, first of all, his analysis, I guess this is that professor at Luther, Dwight Shila, who runs something of a center for church renewal, as I understand it. And the analysis I all agreed with, but it was all very formal, just like his suggestion for renewal. We can say yes to a lot of those, getting back to the basics, things like that. We can say yes to that. But what was fascinating is he avoided all the hot button issues that are dividing Christians today, and kind of providing the division going on between the James Davis and Hunter call the Orthodox and the progressives. And the mainline churches are obviously going in the progressive direction, and I think that's a real blind alley that will finally lead to those even sharper declines. The Orthodox seem to be faring better because they hew to more classically Christian teaching on the Bible and Christian ethics. And if you really want to be distinctive from the declining and decadent culture around us, you have to cling and proclaim those sorts of truths rather than accommodate to the culture. And you can't find any church that isn't accommodating the culture better than the ELCA.
So what kind of hot-button issues are the solution suggestions avoiding?
Well, there are a couple of key ones. One is universalism on the one hand, and the other hand is the sexual liberation movement, which is the lasting, relentless element out of the 60s that is pushing. And of course, the ELCA accommodated that dramatically, not only in 2009 when we divided, but in recent years they've accepted, even propagandized for transgenderism, which is just amazing. Even now have a bishop who endorsed polyandry. So, talk about accommodating to the sexual revolution. They can't say no to anything. And this is precipitating more and more congregations leaving the ELCA. So that's one huge thing. And the key Christian teaching on this is the doctrine of marriage and the sexual ethics that revolve around the doctrine of marriage. And you can't give that away without giving core Christian teachings away and accommodating way too much to the culture. The other one is universalism, that all will be saved, that all the world religions are different paths to the same goal, and that we should no longer do evangelism of those who haven't heard the gospel. We should accompany the already established church, but we should have dialogue between the world religions. If you really believe that everybody's going to be saved, well, it's kind of hazardous to evangelize them now because they might fall away. Why not just let it go and God will save them on the other side of death? So those are the two key ones, it seems to me, that have been accommodated to dramatically in the mainline churches.
So you can speak from personal experience in this matter, I believe. Why do people stay? You were kind of part of a resistance for a long time in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but why do you think people who are perhaps as troubled as you are and others are about not only the decline but the compromise with the culture in the ELCA, why do they remain?
Well, that's a really good question. The way I answer it for a lot of my friends who have stayed within the ELCA is that belonging trumps believing. That is, the strong bonds of loyalty they have to a local congregation, and even to a synod, one of the regional organizations, is more familial, and you don't betray the family by leaving it, even though it does crazy things with regarding to belief and teaching. And I don't quite understand that, but that's one element, the belonging trumps believing. The other element is that so many lay people, this would be true across the board, I think, live at the local level. They ignore what's happening at the synodical level or at the national level and hew themselves to a fairly conservative Orthodox practice within their own congregation and ignore the larger church. And I observe that in a lot of places. And the church that I belonged to for 33 years and left in 2015 because I had the option of going to a church belonging to the North American Lutheran Church, they called an Orthodox pastor. And they remain Orthodox. And I think that's true in Episcopalianism. A lot of Lutheran congregations are still wonderful congregations, but they don't seem to have a holistic notion of the church. On the one hand, and on the other hand, they are under the illusion that this is going to keep going forever, and it's not.
The ELCA held its churchwide assembly this summer, and many have observed that it was largely occupied with social justice issues. Why is that?
Well, when you tend toward liberal Christianity, and this has been true since the 19th century, you tend to shear off the supernatural, miraculous dimensions of Christian claims, that is, a virgin birth and a resurrection and the miracles of Jesus and the sacraments. You kind of tend to ignore those or cut them out and emphasize ethics. The mainline denominations, oddly enough, don't talk about personal ethics, and of course that's what's crucially important for Christians, it seems to me, but want to focus on structural issues, social justice. So there's been a long, long tradition coming from the social gospel, and as churches liberalize, they tend to move toward the social gospel, which is contradiction in terms, it seems to me, if you take it to mean social ethics is the main mission of the church.
Did you see that already happening in your latter years with the ELCA?
Oh, I saw it even earlier than that, and I'll admit to being guilty myself. I just have a new memoir coming out called, it's out called Thanks Be to God, The Memoirs of a Practical Theologian. In that, I confess that in my graduate school years at the University of Chicago Divinity School, I was caught up in the great enthusiasm of the time, what I call liberal idealism, in which I saw the church as a transformer of society, a social transformation, instrument of social transformation, and actually put on the back burner my great Lutheran convictions about the gospel and sacraments and the church, and saw the action of God being out there in the world and social justice pursuits. But the 60s cured me of that. So I returned to the more classic and orthodox teachings about the church ecclesiology and theology and Christian ethics. So that began way long ago, and as you know, there was a social gospel history in America coming from Rauschenbusch way back at the turn of the century, and that has just accelerated, it seems to me, in the left wing or the mainline denominations, reducing Christianity to the church being an instrument of social transformation.
What are some of the ELCA's favorite social justice causes?
Well, sexual liberation is the big one. That has blown up more and more institutions in the ELCA, where anybody who even has a history of claiming that marriage is between a man and a woman and that homosexual conduct is not God-pleasing, anybody that even has a history of that and has not rejected that is anathema. The United Lutheran Seminary, which was a merger of the Philadelphia Seminary and the Gettysburg Seminary, had a huge blow-up about that, which I wrote about in First Things, where the president of the seminary at one time, she was a Presbyterian, had been part of an organization in the Presbyterian Church USA that organized against gay marriage, and she had, of course, then converted and became a real social justice warrior. But even having that in her past disqualified her from being president of the seminary, so she was hounded out. So that's the hot button. That's really the hot wire. But the other one is what I talked about earlier, is the conviction that all will be saved.
Dr. Robert Benny is our guest. We're talking about the membership projections by the Office of Research and Evaluation for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. When we come back, well, that universalism found its way into one of the official statements made by the ELCA and its churchwide assembly this summer. We'll find out what they voted down. A hint, something Jesus said. We'll be right back. We have 4 weeks left in 2019, and we need $125,000 to cover our expenses for the year. please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2019.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Lutheran, it's not a slogan, it's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We are 3 weeks away from Christmas Day, and if you have a child, grandchild, godchild, ages 2 through 7, be sure to give them the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. Angel, Angel, what do you see? It's kind of like that book, Brown Bear, what do you see? It's a question and an answer on every page. It tells a story of Christmas. It doesn't just show them colorful animals, purple dogs and white horses or whatever that book has in it. This is Angel, Angel, what do you see? A children's book from Concordia Publishing House. You can find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Angel, Angel, what do you see? 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're talking about membership projections by the Office of Research and Evaluation for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Dr. Robert Benny is our guest, author of a column for First Things titled ELCA Hits Bottom. Dr. Benny, you mentioned before the universalism, and it was really on display at the 2019 Churchwide Assembly of the ELCA this summer. There was a document they were trying to pass about interfaith cooperation, and there was an objection from the floor from a lay delegate who objected, saying, look, the certain section of this is rank universalism and it is directly contrary to Christ's words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. His amendment was almost unanimously voted down by the assembly, and one person speaking to the issue at the mic said, I can't believe we're having this conversation in front of our interfaith friends. Does any of that surprise you?
Not at all. Not at all. One of the worst things about the ELCA that led to the division in 2009 was that in the early 90s, the Board of World Missions rejected pioneer evangelism for the sake of accompaniment, a change of focus about what the Board of World Missions was going to do. And around 2000, that was actually voted in by the church, which in many ways is worse than the sexual changes that were done in 2009. But from that moment on, the ELCA didn't do any pioneer evangelism, that is, sending missionaries of the gospel to people who hadn't heard the gospel. They were so convinced that this was distorted by colonialism that they gave up evangelism to pioneer evangelism and opted for accompaniment. That's working with churches that have been already established in Africa and Asia and doing what they tell you to do, so that you don't become colonial again. Although, meanwhile, they push for women's liberation. They push for abortion, so that doesn't count as colonialism, family planning, so-called family planning. Anyway, so that happened officially around 2000, and there were all sorts of organizations that were missionizing in Muslim areas and other areas that were orphaned by that decision and had to go on their own, and then were gathered in by the NALC, and I think some by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod also.
Back to the projections of the decline.
Yeah.
You talked about a merger. Is there anything in principle that would stop, other than kind of a personal pride in their own existence, that would stop the ELCA from merging with any other church body at this point, given their ecumenical proclivities?
Well, they certainly wouldn't merge with any of the more conservative bodies. They've kind of cut ties with them, the more orthodox bodies. But I think they would be very amenable to merging with the Episcopal. That's what I would see as the first possibility. And I don't think there's anything that really prevents that. They were also in pulpit and altar fellowship, I believe, with the Methodists. But the Methodists, oddly enough, because they have a world component in their decision-making, decided not to go with the sexual revolution. And so probably the Methodists will break from the left. The left will break off instead of the right breaking off, as has been the case in the other denominations.
I guess the biggest question here, Dr. Benny, is barring, obviously, a miracle, God can do anything here, but barring that, do you see any prospect of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America changing its theological trajectory and its constant compromise with the culture?
I can't imagine that happening. It take something catastrophic, but I don't know how that would happen to an institution. I just don't see any grounds for that. Now, the bishop they have currently, a woman, Bishop Eaton, is much more prudent than earlier bishops, and she tries to stay on core religious issues, but beneath the velvet glove is a pretty hard hand, I'm told. She doesn't compromise on the sexual revolution. And once you've got gay and lesbian bishops, there's really no turning back on those sexuality issues. How in the world could you, once you have leadership that are part of that community? So, and universalism, that's deep now within the body of the church, and so it's hard to see how domestic evangelism is going to really pop up in it with any kind of strength, because once you believe that everybody's going to be saved, well, why bother? So I'm always impressed with the 19th century missionary movement, where people believed that the pagan masses were perishing. And if you loved your neighbor, you wanted to send the gospel so that people could live eternally with God, not perish. So that's all dropped out of liberal Christianity. And so there has a hangover effect, or a transfer into domestic evangelism. So I doubt if there's going to be any people, enough people raised up in the ELCA who want to start new churches and have the evangelical zeal to do so.
I interviewed Bishop Eaton in 2017. We had a kind of long and far-ranging conversation, and it ended with a question about confessional subscription. In essence, mm-hmm. I asked her whether or not the pastors of her church body were required to unconditionally subscribe to the Lutheran Confessions as a true and correct exposition of the Word of God. And in her answer, it was very subtle, but it was there. In her answer, she said, "We believe that the Lutheran Confessions are a true exposition of the gospel." She substituted the gospel for the whole of Scripture. What does that tell you, Dr. Benny?
Well, one of the problems that the ELC has is what theologians have called gospel reductionism, where, in fact, you forget about the law, and you forget about the Trinitarian faith, the whole Trinitarian faith, and you restrict the gospel to the justification. And justification then stands as the only item upon which the church stands. Now, Luther and the Lutheran tradition have talked about justification as the belief teaching upon which the church stands, but it's never said it's the only one, because without the full Trinitarian faith, justification doesn't make any sense. So what I think is going on there is that you don't have to have the full Christian faith of repentance and amendment of life. You are justified by free grace without those other two elements coming in. And I'm often confronted with that argument when I argue with ELCA people about the doctrine of marriage and the sexual ethic in general, Christian sexual ethics, because one of their responses is always, well, as long as we agree on justification, the gospel, we can disagree on all these other things. Well, that's not true. The confessions are much more broad than just the doctrine of justification. So I think that's probably the card that she was playing, kind of a gospel reductionist card.
Finally, Dr. Benny, if I recall correctly, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America was formed on the 1st of January in 1988. How do you explain that in almost 32 years, and they may be unique in this, the ELCA as a church body has never experienced any growth?
I think it had 1 year that it showed a little bit of growth. And of course, I attribute this to kind of a sellout to the classical, or to what I call the Orthodox Christian faith. And this happened earlier in the LCA. You could see it happening in the 80s. Perhaps a little bit less so in the ALC, the American Lutheran Church, but also there. And so these trends that have shaped all of mainline Christianity shaped the ELCA too, from, you know, the post-war era onward, particularly through the 60s, which generated lots of change, a long march through the institutions, as Rudi Dutschke talked about it, that German revolutionary of the 60s. So it took a long time for it to work out, but it was at work for a long, long time. And what surprised me is that I thought Lutherans, with their confessional heritage, would be able to resist the kind of accommodation of the culture that the other mainline churches were doing. But I sure was wrong on that score, at least for the ELCA. They were overrun by the culture.
Dr. Robert Benny is Professor Emeritus of Religion and Philosophy at Roanoke College and author of a column for First Things titled ELCA Hits Bottom. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Dr. Benny, thank you very much.
Thank you for the conversation. I enjoyed it.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss infant faith with Dr. Jordan Cooper. We'll talk to Terry Mattingly about a New York Times Magazine story on Who's Pete Townsend? And we'll have Pastor Paul McCain lead us in a teaching on the invocation of the saints, communion in both kinds, and marriage of priests in the Augsburg Confession. They say, well begun is half done, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's problem is it was never well begun. It began as a compromise. It began with the premise that compromise was the way forward. Now, at the time, there were many who unwittingly thought, well, a compromise here, a compromise there. We're a good, solid Lutheran church body. We're a bunch of good Lutherans. We're not going to compromise that far. Maybe no one could have predicted how far they would compromise, but they began with compromise, and so that's the path they have remained on. And with that compromise comes really irrelevancy. You have nothing to offer that isn't offered by the culture itself. Nothing to offer that isn't offered by the world. When you sound like the world and you act like the world, you promote the things that the world promotes, you condemn the things that the world condemns, it's no wonder that your church body is shrinking. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc., is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you need a rest from the world's headlong rush to Christmas? Someplace where you and your family can slow down and prepare for Christ's birth at the church's rather than the world's pace? A midweek evening Advent service is the perfect time for your first visit to a Christ-centered, cross-focused Lutheran church. Learn more on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org or send an email to talkback@issuesetc.org.